Ladies and gentlemen, Uzi, Yomi, whatever you want to call me, I go by Yomi these days. But we have an interesting update, the developer update of May of 2024. I've essentially stopped playing DVD for multiple months now, but I think that the anniversary event and this developer update might be an incentive for me to get back in the DVD. But following talking about the dev update, I do want to bitch a little bit about Dead by Daylight, because I felt like they started doing something great and they fell a little bit short. And I'll get into that at the end of this podcast. But without a further ado, we're going to jump right into the updates. So first and foremost, the good guy, aka Chucky, he has received, in my opinion, a significant rework. It is for the better, I think, for both the killer and the survivor, because I think it increases the skill gap for the survivor as well as the killer, because it doesn't force you into a situation where you're just essentially getting hit for free. But I'll read everything that's being changed with Chucky and I'll go into a little bit more detail. So some of the changes is the decreased Heidi Ho cooldown went down to 12 seconds when it was initially 18 seconds. Chucky can only scamper while performing a slice and dice attack. So what that means is that you can't wait for a survivor to drop a pallet, immediately activate your hidey-ho ability, and then scamper. You have to activate your slice-a-dice attack, which means you're essentially doing, you know, if you want to say, like, a blight rush or, you know, a Wesker bound, whatever you want to think of, but it's essentially that movement, and then you can scamper under the pallet, which forces you then to continue that slice-and-dice animation. Therefore, giving both the killer and the survivor opportunities to essentially show how good you are with said role, right? So as a killer, it's knowing when to slice and dice when you essentially go under a pallet to try to get a good hit on a survivor. And then as a survivor, it's knowing how to dodge that and avoid that. So it actually gives you good counterplay. And of course, the people who just wanted to get free hits as the good guy by scampering under a pallet, well, that's gone now. And then decrease the time it takes to scamper to 1.3 seconds when it was initially 1.4. So, the dev note is kind of what I described, but I'll read it out loud for everyone. The dev note is, scamper could sometimes lead to unavoidable hits, since survivors could not possibly get someplace safe in the time it took for Chucky to crawl under the pallet. We want to shift his gameplay from these easy hits, scamper, then basic attack, and instead encourage using his unique slice and dice attack. Since this change will affect his strength, we've reduced the cooldown of Slice and Dice to allow Chucky to use his power much more frequently. Which, I think this is how Chucky should have always been. This is a very, very good change. I'm very excited to see it in action during the actual release. As a matter of fact, I think that the Heidi Hole cooldown could even be a little bit more generous, depending on how this all ends up playing out, but I think 12 seconds is a good starting point, because you do have to think about it. There are certain tiles where if you are a good enough good guy, you're going to be able to get that hit, so maybe any less time would actually be detrimental to the game, because you're going to be going down so fast if you're going against a high leveled skilled Chucky, aka the good guy. So once again, I don't really know how everyone's going to take this at the end of the day, especially if you main Chucky and you kind of based off your playstyle off of the scamper, because you're kind of losing that now. But I do think this is a good change overall. One final note I want to make is, I'm guessing we're going to have a couple add-on changes as well, since the scamper is a little bit different. The reason being is, well, obviously the scamper now is something that you can't just do to lead to a basic attack. So I wonder if they're going to rework a couple add-ons, and if they're also going to rework any sort of cooldown add-ons as well. Who knows? We'll see. Only time will tell. The only reason I bring that up is because if they're already decreasing it to 12 seconds, then I very well could see other add-ons being nerfed or even buffed based off of these new metrics. Moving forward to the cannibal. So I'm just going to talk about the nodes and essentially talk what that means. So some of the changes is the increased chainsaw sweep duration to 2.5 per token when it was initially 2. Increased chain sweep movement speed to 5.35, which was initially 5.29. Decreased collision detection to help navigate tight spaces. Decreased base tantrum time to 3 seconds when it was initially 5, and then several add-ons have been adjusted accordingly. So essentially what this is indicating is that your Chili and Beast Marks have been partially slash fully made to be base kit. This is extremely important because Cannibal really didn't have the opportunity to use any other add-ons because he almost felt bad without them. And when I say almost felt bad, I sincerely think the Cannibal felt terrible without those add-ons. So, the fact that we're now actually having those add-ons built into the Cannibal's base kit now allows you as a killer to actually run other add-ons, or what we'll also potentially see, and this is something that I feel like still happens with killers who receive reworks along these lines, is that they just kind of stack those same add-ons to just make what his power already is even stronger, right? So now what you'll probably end up seeing is beast marks with Chili still, but that's because they know how overpowered it's going to be with both of them added on together. So we may in the future see Behavior have to retweak a couple of these add-ons again, because they're going to probably under-tweak them, therefore making his movement and duration feel almost, I would say, uncounterable at moments. But the way I look at it is the Cannibal is not the strongest killer by any means. So I think these are good changes, as long as they're conscious of the fact that they may have to retweak a couple of numbers just to make sure that the stacked ones just aren't too broken, right? It's okay for them to be powerful because it allows you the capability to perform mind games while at a specific loop against survivors, right? So I would like to see that, and I hope that they are very smart about how they tweak these numbers in the future. But we will see during the PTB what numbers they do to the add-ons to have a better idea of what all transpires. Moving forward to the Deathslinger, one of my favorite killers in Dead by Daylight. They decrease the stun time when survivors break free to 2.7 seconds when it was initially 3. It's always a good change. Increase real speed to 2.76 when it was initially 2.6, another very good change. And then, of course, the increased movement speed while reloading to 3.08 when it was initially 2.64 is also a great change. So all these are buffs to the Deathslinger, and none of these are non-welcome changes. I'll be honest with you, I feel like most of the time people aren't running add-ons that are correlated with any of those changes minus the decreased stun time, which is a really popular add-on that's used in competitive DBD. But all in all, I think that all these changes are very good, and I think that these minor quality of life add-on built into the base kit will just feel good. Even though I don't feel like most of the people that I've played against personally who run Deathslinger run add-ons correlated to this minus the initial decreased stun time. And then we actually have a bit of a... You could argue it is a nerf, because it is, but the way I look at it is that it is overall a buff to quality of life. So we are decreasing the hindered penalty from infection to 4% when it was initially 8%. That is obviously a nerf, and then the other update is infection is now reduced to 1% when hooked when it was initially 50%. So when you get unhooked, you're at 1%, you're not already halfway to getting fully infected again. Once again, it is a nerf, but it is truly a buff to the quality of life that we're all going to experience in the future, because I have definitely seen instances where people have used, I think it's called video conference device. I could be totally wrong. It's a green add-on for Wesker that increases the infection rate of a survivor. And I've noticed that stacking that with tunneling was very oppressive with Wesker. And so I'm very glad to see that we're kind of straying away from this tunnel strategy that Wesker is able to do, because it was essentially impossible to stay up and chase against the Mastermind, aka Wesker, when you were in a match and you were fully hindered and being tunneled. It just felt impossible. It wasn't a matter of if, but it was a matter of when you were going to go down. And obviously you were insta-downable. Even if you were being tunneled and you popped adrenaline, he's just going to use that 8% hindered that you're dealing with post-adrenaline to instantly down you. So, definitely... These are welcome changes. I will actually argue that these are lazy changes. I know that there's some Wesker mains out in the community who have proposed very healthy solutions for reworking the hindered penalty and all of that, because I don't think there should be any type of hindered penalty, because typically all that does is benefit tunneling, but it's obviously going to take a lot longer now to reach that point. So it is still a welcome change, but I think it is overall good for the community, because people who run Wesker to try to just get someone out really quickly is no longer going to be able to do that as swiftly as before due to the fact of the hindered penalty being decreased to 4% as well as the infection rate being 1 when you're being unhooked. But yeah, once again, all welcome changes, very, very nice. And then, of course, the millionth Blight update is Compound 33 and Eerie Blight Tag have received nerfs. The rush speed is now 10% for Eerie Blight Tag. And Compound 33 now has a turn rate and duration by 11%, when before it was 33%. Once again, I don't foresee Blight ever being anything that is not the second strongest killer in the game, despite the constant attempt of reworking and nerfing Blight's add-ons. He's still a very strong killer. I even think if you got rid of Blight's speed add-ons entirely, he would still be very, very strong. He is a very strong killer. He's, as a matter of fact, I would argue very fun to go against when you're not dealing with speed add-ons, but I don't think Behavior will ever get rid of those because people find them to be so incredibly fun. All in all, it's still a welcome change though, because I've seen people go in the same win streaks with those two add-ons collectively together who have very good bump logic because they're making the most out of every single bump. Moving forward to Toolbox. So, all the toolboxes have apparently increased Toolbox Sabotage speed across most variants. So, not all of them, most variants. This is my first time reading the notes, I apologize. And then increased effects of sabotage-related add-ons, which is like the Grip Wrench, Cutting Wire, Hacksaw. So, apparently, according to Behavior, these toolboxes are often considered the repair item. While this is fine for those who want to use in the repair, we'd like to make sure that sabotage still feels like a viable alternative for those who want it. I think that's very interesting because I've had a couple of buddies that I've played DBD with in the past who have always used toolboxes for saboing, and it's even been ones that have been brown toolboxes, for example, that they've had great utilization of. So it's very interesting to see that Behavior is also going in that direction. I wonder if they were looking at some sort of statistics of seeing how often certain toolboxes are being brought with certain add-ons, and that's what led to this decision. Just because, as I mentioned, I know of a couple of people, and I've even had lobbies where people have ran weaker toolboxes that weren't Alex's toolboxes that have been designed for saboing. So I'd be curious to see how this turns out, if this will actually increase people's desire to sabo. I honestly doubt it. I think that if people are going to sabo, they're just going to stick to the jolly old Alex's toolbox and just move on. But maybe that these buffs are a lot stronger than I realize, and it's going to be a lot more applicable. Once again, we're not going to truly know until the PTB hits. Therefore, I'm just going to try to keep an open mind, and I can only make face value assumptions based off the information that I'm being provided. But we are going to talk about some perks that are being updated in Dead by Daylight as well, and I'm going to talk about my thoughts following the mentioning of each nerf or buff to each particular perk. First and foremost, deadlock. So apparently we're decreasing the block duration to 25 seconds when it was initially 30, so a 5-second decrease. I mean, that's 5 seconds, you know. I'll say in very niche situations, 5 seconds is everything, but nevertheless, it's just 5 seconds. It's not a crazy difference. You know, I honestly think they could have knocked it down to 20 if they really wanted to, but either way, it's a very strong perk, and I feel like it's used a lot when it comes to people tunneling, right, to slow down the game, to try to get someone taken out of the game. And then next up, background players. So it decreases the movement speed to 150% when it was initially 200%, which I've noticed that Behavior in this update has kind of reverted some of their changes, because it literally, I'm fairly certain, was 150 in the past. It wasn't 150, and I was wrong. It was 100%, but I do believe it was 150. But they also made a difference, and they decreased the exhaustion duration to 20 seconds, which, for those who are thinking about it, it's the same as Smash Head now. So now, in my opinion, background player got buffed. And the reason I say that is, even though I'm moving slower, I will pretty much always have the ability to utilize background player if I stack it with Vigil. And you could also run Fixated, which would essentially just grant you constant background player value. And I could definitely see a lot of people complaining about that, especially if your fourth perk is a flashbang and you start off with a firecracker and you're just constantly getting value out of it. Once again, we will not know how effective some of these updates are, and for better or for worse, until the PTB comes out and we're able to test these things. But for me, this background player is actually a buff. I understand it's like, oh, hey, well, You can make the argument saying that the individual now has to essentially be set up a little bit better because they get the decreased movement speed. And although that is true, there's plenty of people that get flashlight saves without background players. So there's obviously people out in the community that know how to position themselves in a good location, taking the most amount of value out of something without a perk. So now you're going to be combining a perk with essentially constant utilization, right? Constant firecrackers, if or flashbangs, especially if you're in a Swift, you'll just never feel safe. So I could definitely see this being more annoying now. But once again, this is just face value perspective. I don't know if everyone's gonna be running background player now. Maybe that lack of movement speed is gonna be much more significant than I realize, or people are just gonna give up on it because it's no longer 200%. Once again, it's not gonna be things we're gonna know until the PTB comes out. We get an idea of what's going on, and then it reaches the live servers, and people decides, this is not the perk for me, or this is in fact the perk for me, and I'm gonna run it all the time. Moving forward to Grim Embrace, they decreased the block duration to 10 seconds when it was initially 12. Like, these are just a couple of seconds, and that doesn't mean anything if you are a type of killer that can navigate the map in a very quick fashion, such as the Unknown, Freddy, with when it comes to teleporting the generators, Blight. I'm not even going to say Nurse because Nurse actually traverses the map at a slower rate than your average killer. Fun fact of the day for those who didn't know. And you could even argue Spirit, but once again, you probably want to save your power. So, but point being is that the 2 seconds I think is pointless, but if they want to do it, why not? I personally am not going to notice the difference because it's just 2 seconds. But at the end of the day, maybe to someone that 2 seconds is the determining factor of a win or loss. You never know. Obviously, those are going to be niche examples. But yeah, on to Decisive Strike. We have now nerfed it down to 4 seconds when it was initially 5. I felt like this was a talk of the community when they initially nerfed it from 5 to 3 seconds. Why not just meet a nice middle ground? It'll feel a lot better for everyone. And in my opinion, I think this is going to be the perfect stun duration for everyone. You can make an argument that it's still not going to mean anything against Blight or Nurse, but I still don't think 5 seconds meant anything against Blight or Nurse. You're still going to go down in a couple of seconds if they had intent to tunnel you. But moving forward to Pop Goes the Weasel, is the decreased regression effect is now down to 20% when it was initially 30. You could make an argument one way or another about how effective or non-effective it is now. I still think 20% is a fair amount of progress to be taken off of a generator because, I mean, you gotta think about it. If you are almost done with a generator, which I feel like is most of the times when you get pop value, if you're traversing the map in an efficient way and you're understanding what generator survivors are working, you're probably gonna get maximum value out of it anyways. But if people are gonna continue to complain that this still feels like too little, I think they can meet on a middle ground of 25%. It's still something I would probably use if I was continuously playing DPD. But at the end of the day, it comes down to personal opinion, right? What's your play style? What perks do you typically use? I mean, I'll die on the hill that the greatest perk combination of all time was Rune Undying. I just thought it was very fun for both sides. But once again, everyone has different thought processes on what's fun and what's engaging to someone when it comes to any video game, especially Dead by Daylight. So it'll be impossible for everyone to share the same opinion constantly. Moving on to Buckle Up, so I actually find this change to be very fascinating. This was the only change I actually heard about from someone today, and that's the only reason I knew to actually make the podcast about today's updates. But Buckle Up, it no longer provides an endurance effect. Instead, survivors heal from the dying state break into a sprint at 150% movement speed, so now the same as background player for 5 seconds, and then this does not cause exhaustion. So I could definitely see a We're Gonna Live Forever Buckle Up combination in the future because you're gonna essentially still grant that endurance effect as long as you're unhooking survivors and being altruistic, while at the same time giving your teammate the ability to sprint away and try to reach some sort of safety. I think this is very, very good. I think it's very healthy for the game because It gives you the capability of helping out a teammate that's being tunneled, who is being slugged at a pallet or something, but you still want the game to move forward and or even get them out of a certain area of the map. I think that's a very good change. Once again, this is just my opinion. I know I've definitely had takes before where I thought it was a really good idea, and then I played the PTB or I played the life service. And I was like, wow, this sucks. So this is just something off at face value. I like the change. I think the buckle up endurance combination was just way too oppressive, and it definitely didn't lead to very healthy gameplay on either side, in my opinion, because a killer would just start wanting to tunnel out the person who had buckle up for the people, or the survivor would just essentially just not have to do anything to essentially benefit from it, right? So it just didn't feel very engaging for either side. Moving forward to Pain Resonance, is it was also decreased to 20%. Once again, it comes down to personal opinion on whether or not you like this change. Now it's literally matching the same effect as Pop Goes the Weasel, but for me, 20% is still very good. So I think that is very good, especially considering that there's not a world where we have to run one slowdown, right? People can run four slowdowns and not essentially have any sort of consequence, right? It's not like a specific video game where you're given perk slots and you can only put on certain perks, like Call of Duty, for example, which that's been applicable for most years of Call of Duty. It's like, oh, you have these many perks to choose in your first slot, these many perks to choose from your second slot, and these many perks to choose from your third slot. Obviously, there's anomalies in the Call of Duty series, but since we don't have that capability here in Dead by Daylight, where you're entitled to one slowdown, I think that this is a good choice. Invocation Weaving Spiders has received a medium update according to them. I think that you could even argue this is a major update with literally halving the invocation time to 60 seconds when it was initially 120. That's an insane change, literally half of it. The invocation process now regressed at a rate of one charge per second when it was initially 20 charges per second, which is also an insane difference. So you're also not going to be penalized as heavily if you're being pushed off of it. So there is a level of, hey, this might be worth it if I have another teammate who's also running the Invocation Weaving Spiders. All in all, I think that it's pretty interesting to try to incorporate new aspects of gameplay in the Dead by Daylight, although I'm not particularly fond of the design of Invocation, at least in this particular instance, because now it forces a killer to, once again, it's hindsight, right? But put two and two together. If I don't see any survivors at any generators, now I have to think every single time they might be in the basement. Which, for better or for worse, could be fine. But the way I also look at it is, what if I'm a killer like Trapper and I have to set up traps? So I am having to check out generators, set up traps, check out the basement, and that's just a lot to navigate all at once. But at the end of the day, that's just a problem with Trapper more so than the game itself. Killers like Nurse and Blight still probably won't have any issues with perks like these because they're going to be able to do pretty much everything that they want to do very quickly. Since Nurse has the capability of dying to survive so incredibly fast, well, you'll have the more leniency with maneuvering the map and doing things that you want to do. Like, oh, okay. I'm applying so much pressure already, I can check the basement, right? So, it's obviously always going to be situational with any of these changes, but at the end of the day, we're just looking for an overall healthiness and overall balance of the game. And that's essentially what I at least hope Behavior is aspiring for when it comes to these changes. And I believe that they will make the correct changes following a PTB test or a live server update with, making, let's just say that Weaving Spiders becomes like the fourth most used perk, and it's literally the determining factor of whether or not generators are really getting done in certain instances. It's like, well, maybe we need to nerf this now. So that's a great part about Behavior, is they do look at the perks, they look at how popular they are, and they try to make changes off of that in some capacity. But I will actually complain about other aspects of perk design here in just a minute. But we have to talk about probably my favorite change in this entire update, and literally the very reason I'm coming back to Dead by Daylight, is they reworked the lighting of the Shattered Square map. Thank fucking God. It's unbelievable that it took this long for people to realize that this was problematic. And when I say people, I mean the staff at Behavior. Like, literally, did you not understand that Red and Red was a really bad idea? It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And it actually looks really cool now, based off of the picture that I'm seeing from my perspective. It has a certain amount of, I would just say, ambiance to it that is very appealing to me. But once again, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I think the map looks cool. I'm excited to try it out. It's literally my favorite part of this entire update. They say it's a minor update, but I consider that to be major. But once again, that's just, you know, personal preference. And then they apparently reworked pop-up for items found within a trial. So to go into a further explanation is if you pick up a vaccination from Nemesis, it'll go into a bit of an explanation about what it does and its purpose. So that's super cool for new gamers. And maybe one day it will teach me something new. I don't know yet. I'll have to actually read the description of all of these and be like, oh, I didn't realize that was a thing. So we shall see. It's super exciting nevertheless. All right, now I need to complain a little bit. I mentioned in the very beginning of this podcast that I was going to complain at the end, and that is the lack of meta shakeup we've had in such a long time. They're doing these minor perk nerfs, and I would say the exception would be Weaving Spiders. I think that could change up the meta some, but all these other perks are very popular perks that received super minor nerfs or buffs. Once again, it comes down to the individual, because I would say background player was actually a buff, but that's just my opinion, while on the other hand, like, a lot of the others were nerfs. So, at least in terms of the perks, that is, that's the conversation we're having. So, I really just want them to rework every single perk that is under a 1% usage rate. I think that is a great start. If it's under 1%, which is probably a lot more than I realize, so maybe they'll have to slowly approach that. But there are so many perks in the game that could receive some love that would just literally up the quality of everyone's life. Whether it's a complete rework to completely change what it does. And I understand with how long Dead by Daylight has been out that I'm sure it's very difficult to come up with new ideas. But they could change some general perks into applicable, usable perks. They just announced the release of these invocation perks with Sable Word, like not too long ago, which is a brand new aspect of Dead by Daylight. So how about this? Even though I'm not a big fan of it, I do think that some of the other ones have more applicability. Let's just update some of these general perks to invocation perks or boons or brand new interactive elements to Dead by Daylight. I don't understand why they're so scared to just try to do something different. Literally, it was very interesting to see a Gen Kick meta release in Dead by Daylight. I know that it was a terrible time because of, you know, Eruption and Call of Brine and Overcharge, especially with Skull Merchant and the Knight being present during that period of time. But they changed things up. It made it super fun for me in the beginning. And it was also mentally a new obstacle to overcome, right? It's like breaking a 3-gen. It felt very competitive for me, and it was obviously boring, but if you were able to collaborate well with your solo queue teammates, you were able to break out of those, and it was always a very interesting experience. But obviously, I do not want that back. Let me preface by saying that the 3-gen kick shit was awful. But I just wish that we would be more, I would say, aggressive with some of these perk changes to make certain things meta, to update some things, to ultimately try to allow people to have more variety. And even some of the good perks I don't see utilized enough in Dead by Daylight. Like, for example, We'll Make It, which I think is an incredible perk that could be utilized significantly more. I just don't see it used very much. I would say that back when I played all the time, I saw it once in every 10 games. And that might even be me being generous when it's literally one of the best healing perks in the game. It literally is 100% additional healing speed for, I think it's like 180 seconds. It's insane. So the fact that that is literally a perk that rarely gets utilized is crazy to me. And I could go down the list of other perks that are actually pretty good that rarely get utilized. But there are definitely hidden gems out there that people will never utilize. And I definitely think there's perks that are just so incredibly egregious that could receive buffs to increase the quality of life for the community. I want to be able to go and play five games and run five different builds. I want there to be non-exhaustion perks that are super fun and super engaging in some capacity for me. And they did a very good job with the Nicolas Cage pack that came out over a year ago, or at least it feels like over a year ago, because there was plot twists, there was scene partner, there was dramaturgy, and obviously that's an exhaustion perk, but like the thought behind that was, let's add some fun perks in the game, and they did an exceptional job with that, and I'm just so incredibly disappointed to see that lack of creativity ever since then, in my opinion. They've completely strayed away from that, and it was like, hey, we're just going to meme. And the meme, unironically, was exceptional. Literally, that was such a fun time in Dead by Daylight, all these new perks. And to this day, I use Plot Twist. Dramaturgy, not so much. Scene Partner, every once in a while. And once again, this I'm referencing back when I played, but those were perks that I had fun with, that I utilized. And now I just feel like we're at a point in DBD where I just have to use the same couple of perks. Anti-tunneling perks. I feel you can get away with things a little bit more when you're running a Swift. Like, hey, I can run We'll Make It, so if you get the tunnel, well, you'll probably be fully healed by that point. Or, you know, you could run, you know, troll perks, but because you know your teammate has background player and can, you know, save you if you intentionally go down on a pallet. But at the end of the day, these thoughts and words are just my opinion. I know everyone's not going to agree with these thoughts and my opinion, of course. But I just kind of wanted to lay down the groundwork, and I really do hope one day Behavior decides to update a lot of the general perks as well as a lot of the underused perks that could even be considered to be bad. Here's the thing is that I won't even give exception to perks like Visionary, that is one of Felix's perks, because I have definitely seen people use it twice ever, and they probably enjoyed using it for the applicability factor of it, right? It's not terrible, but there are better perks in it. So there are certain perks that are bad that have their use, and that's fine. But please update the perks that are just generally bad that really serve the least amount of value. But I'm not going to vent anymore. I just wanted to talk about the developer update for May. And then also, we'll just kind of give my thoughts on, you know, the status with, you know, Dead by Daylight's perks and their system in general. And to what I said earlier is that with Call of Duty perks is maybe in the future they could try to, like, slot everything out and to try to force a little bit more diversity. But I think a lack of creativity would only hurt the community. So I don't think they should ever go that route. But maybe that would force a little bit more creativity from the community. But that's all I have for you all today. I hope you enjoyed listening. Once again, it's been forever and a day since I've actually recorded one of these, but I was super invested into the buckle up patch / update that will hopefully be added to the live servers in the foreseeable month or so. So I had to go over this. I had to read it firsthand myself and just get an idea of what's going on with Dead by Daylight. I actually thought there would have been more to it than I realized, but a lot of them are just like, you know, literal quality of life aspects, whether it's minorly nerfing or buffing a perk or a killer. Except for, in my opinion, I think the Cannibal was actually a major buff. I think he's going to be significantly better as long as they didn't completely tank the Cannibal's add-ons. I think he's going to be a menace. But that's all I have for you today. I'm going to continue the talk if I don't stop it here. So I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day. Yomi out.